What's up, guys? Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm here with Coach Macaroni. Coach, how are you doing?
Good, Coach Mac.
Coach Mac.
Return of the Mac.
Coach, return of the Mac. Coach Nick, was I close that time? Am I getting close to pronouncing your name?
Yeah, we get every single week, like closer to the 12 weeks, you get better and better at it. So,
well, look, we're in week 12 now. It's exciting times in the towards the end of the challenge, but could you tell us, how do you pronounce your surname?
Cepellini.
Cepellini. Yeah, I feel like I need to say that with my hand. Cepellini.
You have to. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Cepellini.
Cepellini. Well, look, Nick, we are in week 12 of the challenge, and it's exciting times where, you know, lots of images are starting to make their way into the journals on the challenge website, onto Instagram, onto our Facebook support group of these amazing transformations. And some of them are truly breathtaking. Some of them are very unique on their own mind. And each one of them, you know, we can't fathom how much work has gone into these amazing results. So congratulations to everyone who's committed to the 11 weeks so far, because it's still one more week, still 12 weeks. Everyone who's committed so far and are posting about it online. And it's amazing to see. We love seeing it. And it's continuous inspiration for me to see these results.
Definitely. And such hard work, you know, each person. And for some people, it's only the beginning, you know, and that's so amazing to see. You know, the habits have been formed and everything is good to go. You know, it's just good to see, really inspiring.
Yeah. Now, look, outside of the challenge, there's lots of other exciting things happening in both of our lives. You know, you're competing just in a couple of weeks. How long now?
Well, they cancelled one of the shows, so I've actually but that's the way it is. So I've actually got another 6 weeks up my sleeve. So I'm actually in a really good position now where I can maybe eat some stuff going into the show. You roll with the punches with that and you keep going. So I'm going to have two shows on one weekend. So bang, bang, out.
Bang, bang, out.
We're all good. So this is awesome.
What a wild ride.
I know. very exciting.
And I guess for me, you know, I'm expecting my first child this year. So we're about halfway through the pregnancy now. So it's not long now until my life is going to be very different from what I've been told from other parents that I've spoken to. And I guess, you know, to start off our little conversation here, you know, it's interesting where, you know, each one of us has our own little home, right? And, you know, when you're at home, you have those like little jobs that you need to do. It's like, oh, well, I want to get around to painting the walls, or I want to get around to fixing the door, and, oh, I need to, you know, tighten up the screws in the kitchen, and, oh, yeah, like I need to clean the oven out, and all these little jobs that everyone has in their home, right? And for my partner and I, you know, we're starting to think, oh, well, baby's going to arrive soon. It's time to, you know, do some of these jobs before the bub arrives, right? You know, setting up the nursery, nesting, these types of things. And the first thing that we're doing is really trying to finish up the backyard and do some of the little jobs we want to do in the backyard and then move into the house, right? And over like the Easter weekend, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and then last weekend, you know, Coach Steve has been Steve the gardener, right? I've been like out in the garden. I've been weeding behind the shed. I've been tidying up the bark and the mulch and moving the pavers around and doing all these jobs around. And boy, must I say, it was tiring. It was physically exhausting. And I feel like if I wore like some sort of pedometer or something and track my steps, I would have got my 10,000 steps just from doing the gardening, let alone all the lifting and the bending down and bending over. And I swear, while I was weeding behind the shed, I would have been in like a squat position for like what seemed like an hour just weeding all these things, right? At this stage of the challenge, it's important to start to consider, how are we going to integrate physical activity into our lifestyle, right? Where sometimes we're so tunnel vision focused on what are we doing in the gym every day to maintain our results, where we kind of forget about all these other things that we do from day to day and how they add up to our total physical activity, which ultimately leads to our ability to maintain our body composition, right? And I'm sure you're just like me, where on the weekend or maybe when you have free time, you're not one to, you know, sit down for long periods of time. Sure, we have our Netflix binge and watch a movie here and there, but, you know, we're less likely to want to be inactive and more likely to do these physical jobs, such as going out gardening, go out hiking, you know, walking the dog, playing with your kids and such. Do you have experiences like that that you can relate with?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard to get me to stay still. That's just the way it is. So I will encourage the family to go for a walk whenever I can. So we all go together. We take our crazy dog with us and have a good time. I also definitely have to encourage Shane to get out of the house and because he likes to relax. And as soon as he comes out of the house, he's so excited because he starts to get the endorphins and realizes what a good idea it is. So it's sort of my job to do that. And we like going on family hikes together. I mean, there always is sort of a reward at the end. So if we go to the Dandenongs and go to Sassafras, the kids will get some lollies or something at the end and we get a coffee. I get a long black. Woohoo! But, you know, we like to incorporate exercise in. And also I like to do everything fairly early in the morning. And then I like to have my rest in the afternoon. So I love to get things clean, get things done around the house, any type of thing that needs to be done in the garden as well, rabbit maintenance, dog maintenance, child maintenance. Like I just, we have to clean all their rooms and things. So, I mean, I try and get them to do it, but realistically they don't do as much as what they probably should. So I treat that also as everything that I do is a little bit of a workout. So, you know, I'm picking up clothes, I'm walking up and down the stairs quite a bit. And that's also an opportunity to be active. You don't always have to just be in the gym and smashing it out. Or like, even when you see someone on the treadmill getting their steps, this is your way of just doing that without having to be still, you know, on a machine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you might have a similar approach to things like cardio training as I would now, where I'm less likely to do any like formal cardio where I'm on a treadmill walking or running or on a bike or a Stairmaster or any other funky equipment. Like my cardio now is literally life, right? Where I'm, you know, let's say this morning I was trying to tidy up the house before like the day began. And I was walking around, I was like, geez, I'm getting hot, even though it's in Melbourne at the moment, it's quite cold. I was like, well, geez, this is a bit of a cardio workout right now, just doing the laundry, tidying up the kitchen and cleaning around the house and things like that. And I think in the challenge, sometimes you challengers will get so fixated on doing cardio. And we kind of forget that in life, we do lots of physical activity. Sure, sometimes we live a very sedentary life. For example, you might be one to drive to work, sit in an office all day, drive home, come home, have dinner, and then, you know, maybe watch a movie in the evening or something like that. Okay, that individual might need to supplement and do some sort of cardiovascular training. But for most people, just being physically active, you know, we start to collect all our steps. We're going through movement patterns such as squatting and lunging and reaching and lifting and all these things that we're doing this mobility work as well. So life really is our fitness, right? Life is
definitely. And once you start to, you know, feel a little bit more, like I suppose a bit better within yourself and physically able to move more, you know, lighter, leaner, you will move more. The only thing that happens sometimes is like at the end of the challenge, when the calories are a little bit lower, people probably tend to not want to move as much because that's just what happens. You know, you have to force yourself to move a little bit. But at the end of the challenge, when you're refeeding a little bit, reverse dieting, all that sort of stuff, your want to move should go up as well. And you should really honor that because that's just a really good way to stay on track. I mean, walking in itself, just a nice, pleasant walk to your local coffee shop, that kind of a thing, is actually enough, if you do it enough, to just maintain everything you've got, you know, other than obviously muscle mass and stuff. But talking for a few weeks, if you want to do that, enjoy yourself, go hiking, you know, that, go for a little run on the beach, that sort of stuff, that's all great. That's brilliant.
I really think all those little like 1%ers do add up in terms of physical activity, right? And a little story of when I was training in a gym. So at the moment, I'm just training at home. which is quite nice in my garage. But, you know, I was at a gym, and you know when you're at commercial gyms, you see other personal trainers, right? And I was watching a person getting trained by this personal trainer. And this personal trainer seemed new, like I hadn't seen this person before. And they seemed to be really big on like service of personal training. So they were, you know, running and grabbing the dumbbells for the client and bringing them the dumbbells, and the person would grab the dumbbells and do a chest press or whatever. And then the personal trainer would grab the dumbbells and run and put them away. And then they would go over to the squat rack, and then the personal trainer is putting all the plates on the bar, and then the person does their squats and everything like that, which was really great in terms of service. Heck, if someone was training me and they're doing all those things, awesome. But what I felt like in watching that was that the person who was getting trained was kind of missing out on all those little things where they were actually picking up the dumbbells and putting them away, or putting the plates on. Like all those little things like add up through our movement and our physical activity and our overall energy expenditure, right?
Definitely. I mean, if you've ever, you know, unloaded a barbell that's got like even 140 kilos on it, you realize it's actually quite taxing to do that.
And
to put everything back in the place that it's meant to be in, that is a workout in itself. So that personal trainer was actually probably doing well for themselves, because they were probably getting their steps in and doing some lifting along the way.
Yeah.
So I suppose for somebody who might be training someone all day, it might have even been a strategic thing, because it makes their service look good, but then also they're getting their workout as well. So you never know. But, You actually need to. That's a requirement of going into the gym. I believe you need to learn how to load and unload your barbell, put it all away, figure it out, you know, get one of the helping things. I don't even know what they are. You know, the things where you lift it.
Yeah, it's like a bar jack thing.
I fully believe that you need to be able to lift a barbell, chuck it on and lift your thing, and then take it off yourself. I think that that's very empowering. I mean, that's a different podcast, but it's a very good workout. So those little incidental things add up.
Yeah. What is it? Your last rep is putting the weight away. Is that the saying?
So true. And look, if you've fatigued yourself in your working set, and then you look down at that and you go, I've got to put that away, you realize how hard it actually is. And that's why a lot of people don't put their weights away, and there's dramas in the gym. But I think those sorts of things. But look, even folding up the clothes, you know, putting them away, if you do it all, like if you think of it as a little bit of a workout and you go, okay, I'm going to take it off the line or out of the dryer, then this is such a mum thing, then take it upstairs and fold it all up and then put it all in one go into everyone's rooms while everyone else is sitting there. You know, it's easily quite a few calories burnt there.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it's different things like that. It's like, think of a task, go, I'm going to do it all in one go, and you actually end up getting quite a bit of exercise just incidentally, which is what we want to teach people anyway, really, as well, just to move.
Now, one thing we do need to acknowledge is that, you know, maybe like the other side of, you know, overdoing it, right? Where, you know, kind of what you described there is what a stereotypical busy mum would be, where they're looking after the kids, they're looking after their partner, they're looking after the dog and the cat and the rabbit. Then they're trying to go and do, you know, the weekly shop, and then try to fit work in as well. And then they're joining the challenge and we're telling them to go and train. We need to appreciate that all of these physical activity tasks throughout the whole day add on to our overall fatigue and our overall training volume, right? You know, if someone, and it happens on the forum, on the Facebook group, and, you know, someone would post that, I've done 20, 25,000 steps a day, I'm too tired to work out. It's like, well, yeah, like you are. You've done so many steps, you've done so much physical activity, like there's no way you're going to do a heavy squat right now, or a heavy bench press, or a heavy deadlift. You're so fatigued. So we do need to appreciate that sometimes it really is that balance, where if we are doing too many things throughout the day and we don't have enough oomph to go to the gym and lift heavy and train, you know, we are just making ourselves tired with all these tasks we do throughout the day. So it definitely is a little bit of that Goldilocks approach, where we can't have too little physical activity throughout the day, and then we need to be careful that we're not doing too much that we're basically gassed for when we do go to train. Yeah.
You don't want to impede the recovery process at all.
Yep.
My tip for that, I mean, just as a busy mum with like two different jobs, all that sort of stuff would be, I mean, I just like to get mine done as early as possible. So yeah. I always put my own mask on first when it comes to training and, and get that. I don't even know if that saying is relevant anymore after COVID. No, put my own mask. No one wants to put their mask on. But you know what I mean. Like, look, yeah. I go, okay, that is something that I want. That's my goal. I know if I have to do things like heavy squats and things in the afternoon, I mean, physically I'm probably up to it, but it's more just my mental capacity as well. Anything that I do that's really important needs to be done early on in the morning, you know,
eat,
and then
eat that frog, is it?
Yeah. Cause then you can walk and do things later. If you need to, you can, you know, you can put the washing away later, things like that. When you're really fatigued, that's okay. But you don't want to be stepping under a squat, you know, a barbell that where you're trying to do something pretty cool when you're fatigued. So it's about balance. But then I guess the challenge also teaches people to own that balance, because you're going to have to move forward. You have to work out a way to incorporate all of this into your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Now on the, on a similar conversation, but then a little bit different, you know, most people start the challenge or start a fitness journey for, you know, superficial reasons like, oh, I want to lose body fat. I want to look a certain way. I want to look good naked. I want to tone up my arms or my chest or whatever it is, right? It's often body image related. Then as we kind of transition through our fitness journey, as our training age increases, we no longer train for those appearance reasons, right? And we start training for other reasons. And usually it is like a mental outlet side of things that helps us focus, helps us de-stress, these types of things. But what I found over my time in, you know, within the fitness game is that whenever I go to do physical activities with my friends, with my family, with my partner, those types of things, it's almost easy to do these physical activities because I'm physically fit, right? And one example would be, you know, before COVID, prior to COVID, a friend of mine who was a surfer goes to me and goes, oh, Steve, do you want to go surfing? I'm like, well, I'm not a very good surfer. And he was like, yeah, no, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. So we went out to Phillip Island, not too far from where I am, and we went surfing. And I'll admit, I was paddling more than I was actually surfing, but I was able to be out on the water with him the entire time, even though he was riding the waves and everything. But I was physically able to keep up with him just because I had a level of physical fitness, right? And that could be the difference between, you know, you having a really exciting day with your buddy, or you having a really average day, being like, oh, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I can't keep up, I feel embarrassed, rah, 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 rah. And I had a really great day because I had a level of physical fitness to be able to do these things, right?
That's right. That's,
have
it's
you
like,
had that?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Millions of times. Just, I mean, every time we go on a family hike, I always just feel so grateful for the bank of fitness that I've got, because I'm able to, you know, encourage my daughters to, you know, move quickly to the top of the hill, that kind of thing. I'm not one of those parents that sort of gets puffed out. I'm like leading the way, and I feel really good about that. So even if someone else from my family, whoever it is, might be whinging, I'm like, no, I've got this. And I just switch into that mode where it doesn't even matter if I start to feel puffed out, nothing will get in my way. So I'm like the leader of the family. So I feel like I can really look after everyone else. Like I've got the capacity to, you know, be a mum that can sort of go, all right, girls, we're going up this last little bit and you'll be fine. And they say, mum, you're embarrassing, but it doesn't matter because we get there. So there's that. And then there's also like if someone says to me, mostly my mum, because she's a runner and stuff, if she goes, do you want to do a 10K fun run together, you know, something that we do just to bond, I can go, yeah, no worries, sign me up, and I'll be fine to just do that. So things like that, it's just such great memories that you can create just by having that just bank of fitness, you know, in reserve, I think. And then I can also inspire other people to get out. I heard my husband on a Zoom the other day saying, oh, my wife's really active and she gets me out and about. And he wouldn't probably tell me that, but then he was telling other people. So that's cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that. I like that. And, you know, if I was to like sit there and think like, you know, of the transition to within my friendship circles, right? So when I was when I was younger, I was maybe in my early 20s, late teens type of age, I was one to catch up with my friends, usually at like a bar, and we would do something like play pool at the bar. I would have a few drinks, that type of thing. And that was like a normal recreational social event that I would do. And then now with my current friendship groups, you know, it's always fitness related. So we would go and train together, or we'd go and, you know, go to a golf course and swing the clubs, or we would go and play laser tag or do other like, you know, weird things. Right. But I guess like now, like my entire social life is built around like fitness things. And if anything, like what you said, that bank of fitness, it's a great way to bond with people, because I'm like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I'll go rock climbing. Like, sure, I don't know how to rock climb, but I'm sure like I've got some strength to do that. Or, oh yeah, let's go to the snow, or let's go hiking, or let's do these
skiing,
whatever it is. So that now I have that physical ability, even though I don't have like the skill to do something, but I have that physical back that I can go, oh yeah, this is great, right? I can do these types of things. And it makes it easier to enjoy those things rather than looking at it like, oh, this is going to suck. This is going to be great, right?
That's right. You don't have this, that little fear from any activity is removed, because it's never going to be, oh, can I make it? It's more like, can I do it? Will I fall over? Hell yeah. You know, if I ever try to go on a velodrome and things, I'm not terribly coordinated, but I know that I can give it a good crack. You know, it's not going to be my fitness that's going to let me down. It's just going to be everything else.
Everything else, yeah.
I don't stress. So that's like, it's like your key to a new life. If you can get to that bit and you just put in that hard work, and also you've got to look after, the other thing is you have to look after your body the other way also with nutrition. So, you don't want to go ham on all the things that you kind of maybe didn't have during the challenge that got you to the good place. You don't want to go, oh my God, I'm allowed to have them again. Because the thing is, even if you are allowed to, or whatever you want to say, they're not going to fuel your body for this type of exercise. You know, there's like, just say you're like, I'm going to have 10 Mars bars today. You're not going to feel so great on your hike.
No.
You're going to be thirsty.
Yeah. And, you know, when we think about like that mental side of things, right, you know, when we think about things like confidence, when we look at these physical activities, if you had a certain level of fitness going into these activities, you know, you feel confident in your body to go and do these new things, right? And, you know, you might use, let's say, height as an example. So you might have done it before, like those treetop rope courses and stuff like that, or, you know, overcoming your fear of heights. Like, that's often a confidence boosting thing where if you were someone who identified as being overweight and not happy with their body, you might not have been one to go in a ropes course or rock climbing, or absolutely, heck, even things like bungee jumping, skydiving. You might have been like, oh, nah, I don't do that. That's not me. I'm the overweight person. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Now you have this level of fitness. Now you have this level of confidence that you go, hey, I can go do that ropes course. I can go rock climbing. I can, play with my kids in these obstacle course like things. And then that slowly builds this like level of confidence, right? And when that confidence comes through, then you're like, yeah, I can do anything, right? Well, to an extent, yeah. But, that is so empowering, right? Which is ultimately the reason why many people choose to join the challenge is, yeah, okay, maybe at the start it's because I want to lose weight, but it really comes down to that perceived level of confidence. Like, I feel good in my skin. I feel good in my body. I feel confident is what I'm trying to achieve. Yeah. Right.
So important, because the other thing is there's only so many times you can flex in a photo, you know, then the photo has to move and you have to get on with life and do your things. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome to be able to just run up a flight of stairs, you know, catching the train with your kids into the city or something, and you can go, oh, the train's coming, let's run for it, that kind of thing. And you get on the train and you're not that kind of thing. Or you can walk around the city all day with your kids and show them the different things and go on little tours and you know, all that sort of stuff. That is what life's about. That's what they're going to remember about you. They're not going to necessarily say with me, they're not going to say, oh, Mum flexed this and that. They might go, oh, that was cool. But they'll be like, ah, oh, she used to take us here, or we used to go on hikes and we used to get annoyed at it, or she made us go to the beach a lot, or that sort of thing. And that's, they're going to remember having an active parent, not somebody that was just sitting there and going, oh no, you go play, or just stay on your device.
Yeah.
You know, because that's very easy to do as a parent, especially because we've had the lockdown, you know, for the last year or so. I mean, we're obviously out of it now, but touch wood, but it was easy to get into habits of just saying, oh well, we're all locked in, you know, and not getting your kids out there. And I think even a lot of kids at school suffered a little bit, you know, with their physical activity. The sports are just coming back, and the, you know, it's a bit like a boot camp now for them. It's like, come on, move.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not up to the schools really to do that for us. We need to, as parents, be able to offer our children, you know, that level of fitness from the start if we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely kind of our responsibility. Yeah.
You know, before I was a personal trainer, so we're going back in our little time machine, I used to work at a recreational center, like a swimming pool, and I was a lifeguard, right? So I started off as a lifeguard, and I would be standing there watching people swim, and I'd watch, like, you know, the parents play with their kids in the pool, and I'd watch, like, we had a wave pool, and, you know, there's people in the wave pool, and there's people swimming laps and all these things, right? And the amount of times that a parent would bring their children into the swimming pools, and the parent would just sit on the side of the pool, and they'll be on their device or reading a book, whatever like that, and they just let the kids go wild, right? And sometimes I felt like a babysitter, where I'm like trying to look after this kid, and, you know, we had certain policies that you know, kids of a certain age need to be supervised, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, the point is that there was many times that parents would come in basically like, all right, kids, go play, right? And for whatever reason, you know, maybe you didn't want to get your hair wet, that type of thing. That's totally fine. But it was always so inspiring to see those parents that would go and, like, play with their kids, right? They're in the kids' pool, jumping around, they're going down the slides with them, they're running around, like, or walking around the pools, right? They're being physically involved in that memory with the child at the swimming pools, and they're in the water, they're swimming, rah, rah. And I used to feel that some parents, you know, that were a little bit overweight didn't want to go in the pool simply because they didn't feel confident with the way they looked. And I tell you, as a lifeguard, I saw all of it, right? I saw every type of person go into the water, and, like, no judgment coming in. Like, no one's really looking at you if you're going to go in the water or not. No one's really caring what you're wearing, right? It was great to see those people that just didn't care about, you know, how they were. They were there for their children. They were there for that physical activity. They were there to play in the swimming pool, right? So what I'm saying is that now that we are feeling more confident in our body, we have, you know, lost some weight, we're feeling stronger, we're feeling fitter, like, go and do these activities that maybe in the past you were afraid to do for whatever reason.
Yeah, definitely. Build, you know, that wear the shorts, put the bathers on, and just get out there, because you don't ever want to regret, you know, you never regret doing something. You'll never come home from the pool and go, oh, I regret getting in there.
Right.
You know, you just don't. You know, I mean, you can get yourself to the point where even you can sneak in a few cheeky laps and they follow, you know, that kind of a thing. And it's a great thing. You know, lots of different pools. There's one in Melbourne, Harold Holt, where there's, you know, lots of grass nearby, and you can sit down, have a coffee, then you can go in with the kids, you know, you can mix it all up. And that's sort of what life is really about, you know. I mean, if, you know, if you've got a family or, you know, a partner or anything like that, you want to be active. You want to see the world. You know, when we were locked down, we probably realized how lovely it is just to go for a walk, you know, a little bit further than 5K away from where you live. So we're back out there. Enjoy it.
Like, thinking about some of my fondest memories, you know, I don't have children, but with some of my friendship circles, right? It's when we went and did, like, events, and this was pre-COVID, when we would go and do things like those, like, obstacle course events, or, like, we did one, was called, like, the Rock Race, ROC, Rock Race, where it was like a whole bunch of, like, obstacle, like, inflatable things that you just have to climb through and stuff. And, like, those events, and, you know, Tough Mudder was really popular before COVID, and there's lots of different branches of that. Like, you know, I think there's, like, a Miss Muddy, and there's, like, the Spartan Race, and all these other brands and stuff like that. They're all really cool. And they're some of my fondest memories, was, like, going, getting physical, getting dirty, getting messy, getting sweaty, you know, with my buddies, and, you know, running through this event.
They're the best. And same with triathlon as well. Like, never discount yourself from that, because there are so many different distances. There's a mini one that you can try that's just tiny. Even if you're scared of the water, they just keep you pretty close. And it's so empowering to get to the end of that and you see all types of bodies in triathlon, which I love, which I sort of miss from, because the path that I've chosen now, you don't really see all types. You know, you don't. So I know that I'm going to probably die going back doing that, because I love the grit, the dirtiness. People fall over, they get back on their bikes, you know, you're riding in the rain. It doesn't matter what your hair looks like, it doesn't matter, and nothing matters, you know, just don't get blisters, you know. And if you do, you still got to keep running. You might have blood on your feet, you know, and it really is living. It really does feel like you're alive. So those sorts of events, even your fun runs, your park runs, those kinds of things, if you feel good, you know, give that a go. You can even walk it. There's Mother's Day coming up. There's a lot of different Mother's Day events around the country. The Mother's Day run is always such a lovely one to do, even in honour of, you know, people that are past. That's an amazing event as well. Just get out there amongst it and celebrate your fitness.
Yeah. I think that's really it, right? To celebrate the chance to be fit, right? Or like how much, the honor to be fit.
Some of those transformations that are coming through, you can see it. It's like, well, that person is going to be moving so well now. And it's like the world needs to see that.
Yeah.
You know, get out there.
You need to enjoy your body, really. That's it. Yeah.
And the more you enjoy it, the more it's going to actually cooperate with you and then take you to the next level. So the more you hate on it, the more it's going to seize up and not do anything for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, look, I think the point of today's podcast is to consider, non-gym related fitness activities, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all around us, right now. And, you know, to be fit doesn't mean that you have to live in a gym. It doesn't mean that you have to slog it out in the gym all the time. It doesn't mean that you have to be that fit person, that stereotype gym bro or gym broette in the gym. You can be physically active day to day. And sometimes we would take time off of the gym to do those physical activities. And that might be in the challenge, where the challenge is coming to an end. Maybe you take a couple of weeks off of weightlifting and you just be physically active. You maybe go hiking, you walk the dog, you play with your kids. Maybe you spend some time trying out something like surfing or playing golf or I don't know.
Yoga,
whatever activity you enjoy doing. Maybe it's time to enjoy your body for a couple of weeks and then rejoin us for the next challenge, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people are planning on doing. I've seen so many people say that they're joining us which is fantastic. So I think, take this time, celebrate what you've achieved.
You
know, show it off a little bit in terms of, like, I'm not saying show it off like by being nude in the street or something. I'm just saying, like, go for a run, you know, enjoy that, what you've created for yourself, because it's truly remarkable and you're ahead of a lot of people just by doing what you've already done.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing to add on to the conversation is that as we develop skills in other domains, when we come back to building our fitness, we are often better at building that fitness, right?
Definitely.
So if you were to start, you know, let's use yoga as an example, still within the fitness domain, most people would blend it in with their training programs. But if you've never tried yoga, and it's maybe because you felt like you were out of shape or whatever reason, you started to begin yoga, you maybe got a little bit more flexible, more mobile, then went back into the gym, you may see benefits from that.
I'd love to do that. Honestly, if I had a couple of weeks off, I would do yoga very intensely. I'd get stuck right into that. It'd make my squat depth better. It'd make my posing mobility better. There's like so many different reasons to do it. And it's actually really good for your strength, yoga. It's amazing. Pilates too. So all of it. There's no different levels, because you can make anything feels difficult if you just immerse yourself into it. And the stretches in yoga are so deep that they can really really get intense. Yeah. I'd be doing that.
You know, if you consider other types of hobby sports, let's say, you know, like that surfing or like, you know, snow sports, maybe like that snowboarding, skiing, like that teaches lots of like balance and change of direction of body weight, right? What are we doing when we are doing things like squats and deadlifts? We're trying to balance, right? As we change our center of gravity when we go through a squat. So you may find if you spend a bit of time doing things like like surfing, snowboarding, balancing on one leg, these types of things, you probably come back to doing things like your squats much better at doing those activities, right?
Definitely. Oh, anything that you do outside of weight training really only helps.
Yeah.
It really does. And if you can get that well-rounded approach, you actually won't be one of those bros that just stands there and then goes home and lies on the couch. Because the thing is, those people sometimes they don't move much outside of the gym. And then you ask, you say, do you want to walk to the coffee shop? They can't even make it there.
Yeah.
You know, that's not good. And also so many niggles and injuries because they only move in one way.
Yeah.
And so you see that sometimes with some of the older dudes as well that have been in the gym for quite some time. You know, sometimes it's like just chill for a bit, guys, and come and see the world.
Yeah.
I'm reminding myself about this too now. Like, oh, what's out there? What's out there?
And then the last thing, you know, this is like a little nugget that I picked up while I've been a personal trainer, is that idea of confidence, where to be able to be strong in the gym, you need to have a certain level of self-confidence to be able to lift the weight, right? You've experienced this, Nick, where you've got a load on the barbell, let that be deadlifts, squats, bench presses, bicep curls, whatever activity, and you know that it's, you know, maybe slightly above your current capacity, and you know that it's going to be tough. So you to deadlift this number, whatever it is, you know it's going to be tough. You need a certain level of self-confidence going, yes, I'm going to be able to lift that, right? If we spend some time now building our self-confidence through non-gym related activities. Now use that example of, let's say, like a high ropes course, bungee jumping, skydiving, usually it's to do with something like height. But as you build that confidence in yourself, you may come back to the gym and smash through your PBs because you're like, oh, well, fuck yeah. Like that number before that I was scared of is like a number that I could reach, right?
Yeah, I've just jumped out of a plane.
Right?
Or gone on, you know that glass thing in Melbourne?
The sky deck. Eureka sky deck.
Yeah. I mean, if I did that, I reckon I'd come home and probably add bloody 20 kilos to my deadlift because it's like, well, I stepped on that thing. So yeah, those things can really, you don't even realize how much they can help with your self-confidence until you get out there and do them. So
And then
that's so important
when you build up your kind of fitness resume, right, of different activities. And you and I have a pretty nice resume from, you know, bodybuilding, triathlons, powerlifting, and all these activities. As you build up this resume, when you're faced with something new, you go, oh, well, I've done this. Now this is going to be easy. I can do this. I have that level of self-confidence. So if you are new to fitness, if you have just, you were a beginner, you've completed your first challenge, now it's time to think about building your fitness resume, going, okay, what things could I trial and test and build experience with to build my little CV of fitness so that when I go back to the gym, I go, yes, I feel confident. I've improved my balance, my flexibility, my mobility, my bracing, my approach, my focus while I'm training, all these little attributes so that when you do go under a heavy squat, a heavy deadlift, you have that oomph and drive to go, yes, I am going to break through a new record. I am going to start challenging my body to that next level, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you've hit the nail on the head. I think it's so important to challenge yourself outside the gym to then come back into the gym and be able to perform even better. Very important. You need to see things in your mind already lifted. So if you've jumped out of a plane, if you've done anything like that, you know, you're a hero. You know, just anything, but it could even just be conquering the hike that you've never been able to do before. You know, that kind of a thing in Melbourne, you know, the 1,000 steps, if you've never done that before, something like that is so epic when you get to the top.
Yep.
That there's nothing you can't do in the gym.
Well, look, as a super summary, life is the gym and we need to find ways to build up our physical activity outside of the gym. We do need to be careful that physical activity outside the gym doesn't dominate our work that we put into the gym, right? If you are someone who is super busy doing lots of steps throughout the day, okay, we might need to modify how much physical activity we do throughout the day so that we can still go to the gym, so that we can still lift. Then, you know, once we have successfully built our fitness bank, we banked up fitness, now it's time to explore our body, right? To enjoy movement, to enjoy our body again, and trial different activities outside of the gym. Let that be hiking, yoga, pole dancing, running, whatever it is. Like, everything is fitness and everything is to enjoy. And that ultimately builds up your fitness resume so that when you do go back to the gym, you can train harder, you can lift more, and continue to see growth in your body and in your transformation.
Yeah, and you're no longer a beginner, and off you go on your journey.
Off you go on your journey. Good.
Hmm.
All right, team. Thank you so much for joining us on the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm Coach Steve here with Coach Nick, and we'll catch you next time.
See you guys. Thank you.